Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome to Women Worldwide. To kick off this episode, let's talk about weddings. Have you ever planned one? Well, if you have, you know the type of energy, love, and commitment that goes into this very special day. My guest today, Stacey Becker, author of Not the One, has a story to tell about why getting dumped before her wedding was the best thing that ever happened to her. Stacey had met her fiancé online, and they formed an immediate connection. After a whirlwind relationship, they got engaged, and they were planning their wedding. Stacey is here to share her experience with you, how she had to untangle herself from the mess of canceling a wedding and move forward to find a much better path to happiness in her life. Stacey, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, we're super happy that you're with us, and you have a very interesting story to tell. How heartbreak turned to love, and what you learned about yourself through a really tumultuous experience. Can you just share a little bit of background on what happened right before you got to the altar?
Sure. So I was, well, I thought I was happily engaged, planning a big wedding in a hotel, and we had about 300 guests that were going to be invited. My fiance and I had been together probably a little bit over 2 years total at the time. We were living together and had pretty much everything set for the wedding, you know, the dress, the band, the photographer, the honeymoon, everything was all ready to go. And you know, there had been a little bit of change in our relationship lately. We were living in New York City. We were in an apartment, and my fiance was from California. So we were dealing with what I thought was a little bit of homesickness for him. Like we were talking about where to spend time for Thanksgiving. And, you know, we were having a conversation about it that just seemed like any other conversation that we would have on a typical afternoon, and it turned into somewhat of an argument about, you know, were we going to go back to California or were we going to stay in New York City for Thanksgiving? And he was very insistent that we go back there. But I had just had some surgery and I was unable to travel. So I said, you know, it's fine. Like, why don't we just stay here? And his parents had resolved the issue and said, oh, okay, we're going to come to New York and spend it with you guys. So I thought the issue was resolved, but found out that, you know, he kept bringing it up. And I was like, why are you fighting this? You know, like, we should be together for Thanksgiving, and we're
right.
Don't you want to spend it with your fiance?
And he said, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So his response was, well, maybe I'm not ready to get married.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just the words you want to hear when you have so much planned. So, you know, you wrote about this in your book, Not the One, which I've read. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And you shared this whole rocky journey. And, you know, there were some red flags. So,
yes.
You know, looking back, can you maybe share some of those red flags just to help others who might be experiencing that?
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, definitely easier to see in retrospect. I think one of the easy ones was he was keeping in touch with an ex-girlfriend of his. And, you know, his side of it was, well, you know, she's engaged too, and we're friends, and, you know, made me feel like I was jealous or, you know, being too, I don't know, insecure with our relationship. And how could I possibly question him? Well, his ex-girlfriend knows that he's engaged, so why should I feel that they couldn't have a friendship? And, you know, then it makes me second guess it. But, you know, a couple months after she got back in touch with him, she revealed that, oh, her engagement was called off. And then she continued to call my fiance, you know, all hours of the night. It just,
yeah, that's a red flag.
Right with me.
Yeah, there's something about the ex-girlfriend. But sometimes when the ex-girlfriend is happily married or set in a relationship, it may or may not be palatable. But as soon as you know that ex-girlfriend is free and then she starts calling the odd hours and your fiance is talking to her, that's a big red flag.
Yeah, big red flag. And, you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. If I actually said to him, like, come on, like, do you think this is right? And he'd say, no, I can see that, you know. But I think he almost liked the attention from her, which was obviously another red flag. Sort of,
you know, yes.
like a little bit of immaturity that he kind of liked that feeling of being desired by, you know, this girl that probably at one point rejected him in his life. And, you know, there's this chance to kind of redeem that a little bit. So yeah, definitely not an ideal situation to be in.
Definitely not. And was there anything else? You know, did maybe your family pick up on red flags or anything else there that maybe they mentioned and you just said, no, everything's fine?
Yeah, well, I think my family in general was a little hesitant to voice what they really thought about him until things went south between us. I had the sense that they weren't big fans of the fact that he was from California and that I was in New York. They were always fearing I was going to leave and go to the other coast. But I think, you know, beyond that, it was more that they didn't feel he was mature or really settled in what he wanted to do long term with his life, like professionally or where he wanted to be geographically. And he was kind of bringing me along for the ride while he figured this all out. They didn't like that he was very impulsive, like he would make decisions about things and just go full throttle with them. So, you know, to them, those were red flags. They would rather have seen me with somebody who was more sure about like what they wanted to do with themselves and with his future.
Right. And it's funny how well families know us. Sometimes we might not want to hear it. What do you think was the biggest lesson that you learned about relationships and also about yourself?
Well, I think, you know, the thing about the relationship is when things were great with my ex-fiance, they were really great. This was my best friend in the world. So when things went south, you know, the things that I remember feeling was, well, I'm never going to feel this way again about anyone else. And, you know, we have all these inside jokes and he knows me so well. And how could I possibly, like, let myself feel this way about anyone else, or will I ever meet anybody again? And, you know, at the time, that was a real thought that I had, and just feeling like, you know, sad about everything and just sort of my outlook on watching everybody around me be in their own happy relationships or getting engaged or moving in together, all these rites of passages going on around me. And, you know, why isn't this happening for me? So I think, you know, what I've learned is everyone kind of goes through these things at their own pace. You meet people at different stages of your life. And just to sort of, you know, go through your own stuff and look at it alone and not being comparing yourself with somebody else's relationships or what they have going on or not going on in their life. I think, you know, I learned you can be happy again. You do have to be a little bit proactive in making sure that you're doing the right things to move on and feeling like a human again. But I mean, that was definitely what I learned from all this, was to be on my own, you know, knowing that I could be happy again, and then really moving on to finding a better relationship that really was more sustainable for me.
And that's so good. And as you made that transition, because I'm sure the sadness was overwhelming, but to become happy again and to get on that right track, moving on, what did you rely on? What was your biggest support system?
Well, I think immediately it was definitely my family. You know, my parents and my sister were my rock during that time. They were on the phone calling wedding vendors for me. They were, you know, my sister, I remember driving to my apartment and helping me pack up all the stuff that was shared between us, me and my ex-fiance, and literally helping me pack boxes and like move things out and rearrange the furniture so that it didn't look like just one person lived there. You know, just to kind of help me get through the day to day and the really tough conversations I had to have, just telling guests or friends or, you know, friends of friends that had heard about it, and just sort of prevented me from having to repeat the story over and over and over, because at that point I was just so upset and, you know, heartbroken. So, you know, my family was definitely the main support system that I went to and relied upon initially. And then I think later on, as time went on, it was a lot of my closest friends and just helping me get back out there and have a social life, not necessarily dating right away, but just keeping me busy with making plans and going to dinners and just making sure that I had things to do on the weekends and downtimes between work.
Well, that's really good. I mean, it sounds like a really strong support system. And do you feel that, you know, when they were giving you advice, was it easy to take it, or did you kind of have to figure it out on your own? It's almost that I've got to move through this by myself and see the light, rather than, you know, maybe listening to somebody else.
Yeah, you know, at the time, I remember feeling very alone because the advice that I was getting from even my parents and my sister, I mean, they were happy that this breakup had happened and they didn't like my ex-fiancé. So the things that they were saying to me was, oh, you know, you, this is the best thing. Like, you really dodged a bullet. And, you know, my friends are saying, oh, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, it just all the cliche expressions that you hear during a breakup, and I didn't want to hear any of it. I felt that, you know, this was the guy I loved. This was the person I wanted to spend my life with, and I was willing to kind of, you know, hang in there for a while to see if we could maybe figure out what went wrong and try to make it better. But, I mean, it just became apparent, and I really had to go through a process on my own to see the relationship through to the end when it really went south and I knew there was no hope of recovering it. So I think that was what, and I think ultimately enabled me to move on, is just seeing the deterioration of the relationship. Not so much people telling me, oh, you know, you're going to do so much better than this. And, you know, right, they'll be so happy that it happened. Because those are just words. I didn't feel that way at all. It was not at the time.
Yeah, when you don't feel it, you certainly, you can't get through it. It has to hit inside to be able to move forward. If at any time, had your parents or friends, you know, expressed something to you, would you have listened, or would you have just said, no, that's not the way it is, and I'm happy? So when you were in this relationship, it must have felt like it was right.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was a time, or I wouldn't have said yes to a proposal, that things were great. And at that time, you know, nobody voiced anything to me really up front. It wasn't until we kind of were having these initial, oh, maybe I'm not ready to get married, and that went out to a small population of my family and friends, that I started hearing from them, you know, well, you know, you really sure you want to be with this person? And no one had those hard conversations with me. But truthfully, I don't think that would have made a difference. I think that I really had to see, you know, why we were having these sort of doubts in our own relationship and what was causing them, and was there anything that could be done to make it better? Because I felt like I was in love and this was the person for me. So, you know, for someone to say, oh, you know, I don't think you guys belong together, I don't think that would have done it for me. I really needed to see it by myself.
Absolutely. I've had friends where I'm always the friend that if you're happy, I support you. If you're not, I support you there too. But I've seen friendships completely go by the wayside when the friend says something about the boyfriend or the fiance. And even if it really is happening, you know, the girlfriend or the fiance friend doesn't want to hear it. So you really, yeah, you have to be ready.
Exactly. I mean, you really don't want to hear that when you're in the momentum of wedding planning, or you think like, okay, my life is going to just be following this path of being with this person, and you're doing what everyone has always done in society, like meet someone, fall in love, get married, plan a wedding, and, you know, happily ever after. And someone's telling you that's close to you, hey, that this isn't going to work out for you. This person's not for you. It's very hard to hear. And in fact, you reject it and see it as like a criticism or an attack on you. And that can never lead to a good thing.
No, definitely not. How long do you think it took you from the time that the wedding was called off to get back on your feet? Did it take months? Did it take years?
Yeah, it took quite a while. I mean, unfortunately, when we had that discussion where my ex-fiance, he voiced his doubts about getting married, I mean, that was around right before Thanksgiving, so let's say early November. I mean, we continued to kind of hash this out. You know, we called off the wedding in December, And then we still tried to work out our relationship, which I absolutely do not recommend.
You know, Good advice there.
You probably shouldn't be dating. But, you know, like I said, it was a process. And, you know, had we just cut ties at that time, I don't know that I ever would have gotten over the whole thing. I think I needed to see that it really was deteriorating, that the relationship wasn't going to go anywhere, that he had changed, like whatever his feelings were towards me or our relationship was not the same person that had proposed to me. It was a totally different situation that we found ourselves in. So, you know, I think going through that horrible period, and I think that period probably lasted about 4 months, was sort of important to getting to the next phase. And, you know, there was a point, and I talk about this in the book, where like, I just knew it was done. Like I had fought tooth and nail to make it happen. And at one point we even went into a long distance relationship during this horrible period, which another terrible decision.
But once I remember that in the book.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who does that? Me, I do that. you know, I think my brain must've been half missing at that point, but, you know, I reached a decision and came to a point where I knew that it was over and the struggle was over. And I think the pain was, I was sick of just being sad all the time and worrying all the time. And once I hit that point, that's when I was able to like move on and even think about, you know, should I be dating someone again? Like maybe I should move and get a new apartment, like, you know, to start to make changes that would lead to the next step.
Yes, and all good changes. I've been chatting with my special guest, Stacey Becker, author of Not the One. In the next segment, Stacey will share her advice on coping with upset, change, and loss, and what makes her feel confident today. And I'd also like to take a moment to mention that this episode is brought to you by PrepDish. Last week, a friend of mine was saying that he was really getting sick of pizza every single night. So I told him about PrepDish. It's a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. And when you're really busy, PrepDish makes meal planning easier. Each week, you receive an email that contains a grocery list and instructions for prepping your meals ahead of time. So you can actually prep all of your meals for the whole week, and it only takes 2 hours. And if you're really on the go, then you can take advantage of the 1 hour of prep meal plan per week. So this is a super time saver, and you also get great meal options. I thought these looked really good. Pecan crusted salmon with roasted sweet potatoes and asparagus, and turkey and zucchini lasagna. PrepDish is offering Women Worldwide listeners a special rate. It's $4 for the first month. That's only $1 per weekly meal plan. And just so you know, they also specialize in gluten-free, dairy-free, and paleo meals. Check out PrepDish.com/worldwide and you can start today.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show where Stacey Becker and I were just chatting about relationships and her book, Not the One. So Stacey, you've shared a lot about the whole experience, you know, what happened before you got to the altar. And I'm curious because your background, you're a corporate lawyer. And lawyers are really observant. So is there anything about your skills and what you've learned as an attorney that somehow comes out in this story or how you managed your life and getting back on track?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that lawyers are observant. I think that's a very kind word because some people have very opposite opinions about lawyers. And, you know, the reputation of being a lawyer can be quite negative. So I think that's a very nice way to describe lawyers. I think for me, you know, I am not, I don't think what they would say are have a typical personality of a lawyer. I mean, I definitely talk a lot and I like to read and write a lot. But, you know, I think The skill that probably helped me the most in going through this is just sort of being very disciplined in my approach to figuring out what the heck am I going to do to get myself out of this. You know, for me, it was staying very busy and almost like scheduling my day to a T, like so that every hour I was tied up so that my brain couldn't start breaking down and getting sad.
Yeah.
I think lawyers definitely have that skill of just being very organized and meticulous and planning things out. So, yeah, I mean, I remember there was sometimes like a couple weeks at the beginning where I literally would sit down with a piece of paper and a pen. I'd say, okay, from 7 a.m. to 8, I'm getting ready for work. You know, from 8 to 9, I'm commuting and I'm getting
there. Wow, that's scheduled.
Yeah, you know, just have a schedule because for me, you know, the downtime was the hard part. It was the, you know, getting home at night and, you know, what am I going to do? Between, you know, when I walk in the door from work and when I go to sleep, what am I doing? What am I thinking about? I don't want to sit here being sad. You know, I want to have a plan. And yeah, I mean, in terms of being observant from a lawyer's perspective, I mean, there are definitely issues that I saw in retrospect. And, you know, the more I sat and thought about, you know, what did I miss? What went over my head that I didn't see? You know, I could definitely start to pick apart like little things that he said or just things that happened in our relationship that may not have meant anything in isolation. But then over time, I see a pattern. And it was something that, you know, going forward, I was certainly going to keep an eye out for in future relationships. And actually things that I started to recognize when friends would come to me and tell me about their own issues in their relationships. So, you know, I think relationships are fascinating in general, just studying how people handle different circumstances. And the lawyer is sort of methodical, but then there's the part of me that likes to, you know, hear about what everyone is experiencing and feeling, and just sort of having that combination is a good balance.
Well, it sounds like your skills really helped, especially with the being organized and even just the gut instincts. And, yeah. You know, even if it's in hindsight, realizing that there were little things, but just the fact that you said applying that moving forward is so fantastic. And that brings me to my next question. You know, what does love and marriage look like now? And what's the biggest difference in your life? Because you are happy and you have a husband, Johnny.
That's right. Yes. No, marriage and life and love now, I mean, they're great. It couldn't be better. And I just feel like I am a completely different person now than I was back when all this bad stuff was happening. But, you know, I think that's because of who Johnny is. And, you know, I call him Johnny in the book sometimes. But, you know, John is an old friend of mine. I've known him since we were 13 years old. So, you know, it actually didn't take too long for me once I started dating him, to move things forward with him. And that was one of my fears coming out of this relationship, is how am I going to ever trust anybody again? And with John, it was just so natural because he's someone I've known forever. He's someone I've, you know, had a little crush on forever. So being in a relationship is very comfortable for me. But, you know, it's also like the good mix of like having all the butterflies and like, you know, still laughing with him about different things. But he is a very solid person in that he knows what he wants out of life. He's always, you know, been the same kind of person. Like, it's not like I was starting with somebody who was trying to achieve something down the road. Like, he is where he wants to be, and I think that's makes him a very happy person. And he's just a very good friend. So once I sort of found that in him, and like we were able to see very quickly how compatible we were, it was almost like instant, I think, for us. If anything, he was fearful in the beginning that, you know, wow, this is really happening fast and I don't want to hurt you. He felt like he had to make a decision about whether we were going to be serious or not pretty quickly, because he didn't want to casually date me.
Yeah, after what you went through, you know, maybe casually dating would not have been the right thing, or the chance of the friendship it not working out, which clearly it did, to the extent of friendship and love and marriage. But it's so interesting that you said that, you know, you met him when you were younger. You write about this in the book. You had a crush on him and all these qualities about him. Is he the opposite of your, you know, your former fiancé, your ex-fiancé?
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, they are polar opposites. I mean, my ex-fiance was like serious banker, corporate guy, you know, loved to wear a suit, loved to like get his hair cut and drive his fancy car. And my husband is the complete opposite. I mean, he
likes
to get him to wear a collared short sleeve shirt and cargo shorts. That's him dressing up.
That's funny.
He actually went to a business meeting today. I'm not kidding you. He wore a Star Wars t-shirt and I think cargo shorts. And, you know, he asked me, what should I wear? I said, I don't know. Are you going to a business meeting? And he said, yeah. I said, well, okay, well, wear your Star Wars shirt. I don't know. I mean, he is an actor, so he has the benefit of a more casual wardrobe, unlike me. But, you know, he couldn't care less about appearances. I often refer to him as the most unaffected human being in Manhattan. You know, he's not into anything fancy. The less fancy, the better for him. So yeah, in many ways, he is the complete polar opposite of the ex-fiance.
Well, and it sounds like a nice balance for you. You know, if you're a lawyer and you're so organized and, you know, and you have to dress up for your career every day, it's kind of nice to have somebody who just is unaffected. And that makes for a really good relationship, I would think.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, on the other side, when I come home and I talk to him about what I did all day, he kind of looks at me like, what? You know, he's like half asleep, which I can understand because sometimes I'm half asleep with what I do all day. But yeah, I mean, generally, it is a very good balance. And it's so nice to come home and have somebody who is just so down to earth and really just, you know, understands me and gets me and like loves me for everything that I am. And, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, having to dress up or impress him in any way. Like he is just very much on my level and we're just very, very good friends.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So what actually makes you feel confident today? Can you share maybe a couple confidence boosters?
Confidence boosters. So I think, you know, obviously staying true to myself and who I am, you know, and having that unconditional love from John, you know, has definitely been a confidence booster because, you know, right after the end of that calling off the wedding process, I was probably at the lowest of my low ego-wise.
Sure.
And I don't think anything really changed with me that significantly other than I met somebody that I was far more compatible with. So I'd say having a supportive, compatible partner has definitely been a big, you know, a confidence booster for me. I'd say having the unconditional love and support of my family is definitely another confidence booster. You know, I think staying with my career and just seeing that progress nicely and really seeing the benefits of all of the hard work that I've put into it and what comes out on the other side, I think that has definitely given me confidence in just professional endeavors and even going after things like trying to write a book amongst all of this.
That's huge.
And it's something I loved and really enjoyed the process of doing. So, you know, I'm happy that it's done and that, you know, my message can get out to help people that are going through something that like you can get through it and you're going to be okay.
Well, it's so great that you want to share that. And maybe you could just offer some advice to listeners who might be in relationships or situations right now that don't feel right. What would you say?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's definitely if you're in a relationship, you're planning a wedding, it's very easy to get lost in the inertia of that process and planning a big party and obviously wedding planning in general, you just get sucked into so many details. I would say it's very important, essential to just, you know, put everything on hold if you're having any sort of doubts and just have those key conversations. Communication is absolutely essential for the long haul in any relationship. So if you're seeing red flags, if you're feeling that something isn't quite right, to voice it and to say, hey, like, what's going on here? And if you're at the end of that process and things have gone south and you're feeling like you're never going to meet anybody again and you're never going to be happy again, which is really how I felt, you know, just to hang in there and kind of take it day by day and that you don't have to make any big decisions right now, just to kind of get yourself through the process and see where things go and hang in there is really all I can offer and stay busy.
Oh, yeah. And do you feel that making little decisions, and even if a little decision meant I'm going to take a walk today or I'm just going to read a book, does that all add to it? You know, things that you do for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that right after, just even like the process of going to the gym, and I did a mm-hmm. lot of working out during that time period, and, you know, not just to get out of the apartment, but, you know, just to physically get those endorphins in me felt great, you know, just to have something to do every day. Like, you know, if you have no plans, you can always go to the gym, you can always go yes. for a walk around your neighborhood. So, yeah, I mean, definitely just taking little steps. I mean, for me, it was also going out, and I needed a new place to live because we were living together. I didn't want to stay there anymore. So finding a new place to live, decorating it, you know, just kind of feeling like having my own independence again and making plans on my own. I remember one of my friends took me to a speed dating event, which is nothing like I've ever seen before. But, you know, just even getting back out there. And yes, those conversations were completely awkward with these people, like feeling like I'm interviewing them for role of husband, you know, very, very odd. But just going through those steps of knowing that, like, there are other human beings out there, you know, and that you actually can move on and take those steps to try to get closer to where you want to be.
Is there any favorite thing that you did during this bounce back period that kind of has stuck with you now? And not the speed dating, because I know you're married.
But speed dating is fun. No, like looking at, you know, apps on people, the dating apps that everybody uses, they did not have those back in the day, but that was like a lot of fun. No, I think, you know, definitely like the jogging and, mm-hmm. and running and exercising in general, like not that I have done it lately. I have a toddler now. So that is usually my jogging is after her when she's taken something from the kitchen that she shouldn't. But, you know, I'd say just sort of a disciplined approach, like the writing definitely helped for me. Writing has always been a way for me to get my thoughts out and almost like work through problems by like writing out how I'm feeling. I remember keeping a journal during that time was very like, you know, therapeutic for me. I did end up seeing a therapist during like the worst period, like those 4 months where I was really trying to figure out what the heck I was doing with myself.
Oh, sure.
And that, you know, was helpful. I mean, I don't do that now. I felt like it was very useful during that time period. And once I had kind of gotten back on my feet, I was not really needing that anymore, but that was definitely a good support tool that I used. So exercise, writing, therapy, and then just keeping busy with friends.
Well, it's really great. And last question, super easy. Where can my listeners find out more about you and your book, Not the One?
So Not the One, KNOT, is you can, if you go on Amazon.com and you put in Not the One and then my name, Stacey Becker, you'll be able to find it there. It's an ebook or print version. I think there's even an audio version that just recently came out. You can listen to it in your car. And then if you want to read more about my writing, Office Stace, STACE.com is my blog where I post regularly. And Thought Catalog is a website that I write articles for on a monthly basis. So just go to thoughtcatalog.com and enter Stacey Becker. You'll find me there as well.
Terrific. Stacey, thank you for coming on the show and sharing your journey from dumped and heartbroken to living happily ever after. We're happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, my pleasure. I'd also like to thank PrepDish and all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.